Good morning, Reading. Good morning, North State. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. It's May 21st. It looks like it's going to be a little windy and cold outside. We'll get to that in a minute, and it's 7:06, time to get up. Put your feet on the floor, grab that coffee pot, get a hold of that phone. Yeah, we're going to give away something again today, you know, but I'm not going to say when. Dan, get close to the phone. It's going to happen. Hey, I'm joined today by our producer extraordinaire, Eric.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's right. Today is Linda's birthday. She is all of 25.
Well, thank you, and thanks to my mom. You know, both my mom and dad, because they made me. And from what I understand, I was the planned one. So, yeah, my brother was the surprise. I was the planned one. I think still an issue 52 years later. My brother's 56.
He's still jealous. He's still jealous, yeah.
Well, you know, my dad was in the service when he met my mom, and they got married. You know, in those days, you didn't do things before you got married, supposedly. And so, of course, a month after they were married, boom, she's with child. So 10 months after.
Your dad probably didn't tell her what was happening.
No, she was still, you know, the innocent girl from Iowa. So I was born in North Carolina, and I've had a great life. I'm just in a really happy place, and I love what we do. And today is also a commemorative day, the day of the Veterans Home. And, you know, may I just start off by saying the breaking of the ground for 150 rooms, 26 acres. It's going to be a state-of-the-art, employing 200 people up here. But can I just share with our listeners that my birthday wish today is that everybody votes. I really feel like in my 52 years here on the planet, I've been involved with community and somewhat with politics from afar or, you know, up close like this. And I'm just in a place of feeling like our country is not going in the right direction. I feel that the people that are supposedly holding office and our commander-in-chief is a person that I don't necessarily feel like I would put my life in his or their hands. And for whatever you think about the Bush administration, I like a strong arm. I feel like if my life is in peril, he would be the person. That administration was the kind of administration that stood up to the other powers in the world that are bullies. And if there's anything that you can do with your life's blood, with who you are as an individual, why you were put here on this planet, is for you to make a difference. And so please think about that today. And I'm sorry I'm off my soapbox, but that's my birthday wish. Make a difference. Stand up and vote for something.
Well, happy birthday, hon. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. I mean, what am I going to say after that? This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
I'm Les. We're going to have a good time today, I'm telling you. But you know what? There is a chance of showers. Well, we're still going to be out there standing in the rain with underneath.
It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain until after the groundbreaking ceremony and people have left. Then it's going to rain this afternoon.
And, you know, even if it does rain, we're still out there. And I've got high heels.
Bring your umbrella.
I've got flats just in case. But, you know, it's all about, think about the veterans who laid their lives on the line, lost their lives. Those wonderful men and women. Do you think that they said, I can't go out and fight this war because it's raining? So today, if it rains, you stand there and let it beat on your face.
Yeah, you get to see the governor out there, the Terminator, or whatever he is.
Well, you know, that's nice, but that's not why we're going. There's going to be a chance of showers today. It says with thunderstorms, possibly after 11 a.m., but Anyway, high today of 63, 40% chance of showers, but we're all going to see you out there anyway for the veterans' groundbreaking ceremony.
Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, a great place. We're going to be up there tomorrow to celebrate Linda's birthday. Now, you can get a hold of us here at 605-4567, even though the phone lines are backed up right now, or you can write to Linda at linda@kcnr1460.com. Write to Linda, say happy birthday.
Get active, and let's go to the phones this morning. Bob, good morning. You are...
On KCNR.
You're in the OR, babe. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
She started the champagne a little early, it sounds like, here.
Yeah. It was awfully gentlemanly of you to allow her to do the ranting this morning.
Yeah.
But she took over right away. I've still got a couple rants left.
All right, Bob, what's on your mind?
Pretty much a lot, but you expressed it this morning and all the morning, how I feel about the government and what's going on. People are just tired of it, just flat out lying, insecurity. How he apologizes for our country, and he's just ashamed of it. So I don't understand it.
You know, I don't understand either. We've got a leader of a third world nation. I'm not saying that Calderon's not trying on some level. But he's got, he's had 22,000 of his citizens killed in these drug wars. They're spilling over into the United States. And he uses the word migration because a state who is in fear of what's going on and the federal government is not helping them. So what they do is reiterate the federal law, and you have a bunch of idiots that are standing up when he's castigating Arizona, a bunch of idiots in the Congress who stand up and applaud him. What is going on here?
Unbelievable. You know, 80% of the American people approved of the law.
Including Hispanics, including the people of Arizona that live with it every day. You know, then you've got some jerk in Washington, D.C. who thinks, oh, since he doesn't even know what the law says, and he's, and he's agreeing with Calderon, who could stop this if he wanted to.
It makes me feel like, Bob, I don't know about you, but it feels like... it's almost like backroom deals are going on.
Yeah. You really don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Well, yesterday we were listening to the radio, listening to snippets on our station here. You know, of course, I jump around, but I mostly listen. And I was listening to Laura Ingraham yesterday, and she said something very interesting, that our current president is acting like, which is fine, but he's more determined to be a citizen of the world than he is president of the United States. And here they are having this fabulous, lavish party for the president of Mexico when we have people. In fact, I just talked with a very good friend in Nashville. The devastation is unbelievable. Where are you when our country needs you?
Yeah.
Well, it's...
You don't hear much about Nashville.
No, you don't. You know why? Because Obama is not on Obama's radar, where there other things are. And, if it had been Bush, everybody would have been saying, well, where's Bush? Where's Bush? It took him 10 days to get down to Louisiana with his oil spill to do something. It was his administration that should have had oversight, and it didn't have it. But, oh, no, they're going to find some way to blame somebody else on it. The Obama administration is not showing me anything at all except the propensity to spending our tax dollars. Yeah. Okay, Bob, thanks a lot. We have somebody else here. Hello. Goodbye. Okay. Well, let's go to Christine on line two. Christine, are you with us?
I am with you.
Okay, now, Christine is calling in today for a specific reason. She wrote a letter to, an opinion piece to the Record Searchlight a couple weeks ago that kind of struck home. We've had shows on marijuana, on medical marijuana, and everybody talks, it's just there to help people, but sometimes people don't realize there's an impact on those who don't use medical marijuana. Is that correct, Christine?
Well, the impact on a large scale here in Hay Fork and the surrounding area is on the environment and socially, the criminal mentality and the fact that marijuana is in just everybody's face. I know that a lot of people thought after they read that piece that I am against marijuana, and that is not really the case. I am for regulating it and taxing it so that the county can get their fair share of the money. I'm going to be surprised if it's legalized. at the state level in November, because I can't understand why marijuana farmers would want it to be legal when it's an underground economy now. They pay no taxes on it. It's all profit for them. And essentially, it's already legal here because it's medical marijuana. The county won't touch it. They're afraid that they'll be sued by marijuana farmers' lawyers who have unlimited money. And the feeling is that because the state passed 215, that people have a right to their medicine, and that if you try to regulate it in any manner whatsoever, environmentally, or zone it and say you can't do it next to schools or here or there, that we're violating the law.
Well, Christine, can I ask you a question? And thank you so much for calling in and being on our show.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. How has your life changed in the last year since there's been this huge surge of, and also for the news coming out and saying Hayfork is probably one of the best growing spots in the country?
It is, because the land is really inexpensive here. Personally, as a gardener myself, not a marijuana farmer, the growing season is horribly short up here, so I do wonder why they're attracted in that respect. However, we have lots and lots of indoor grows here. How it's affected my life personally, well, I have neighbors right next door who have an indoor grow. That doesn't bother me because I don't have to smell it. A lot of people are offended by the smell. You know, they don't call it skunkweed for nothing. And but the truth is, economically, it's been very beneficial for the county. And that's why you're not going to see a lot of people speak up against it or do anything to discourage it, because the businesses are benefiting from it. They would benefit, but the whole county would benefit a lot more if it could be regulated and taxed.
Well, one of the things, we got to take a quick break here, but Christine, one of the things that you wrote about was how somebody from the flatlands of L.A. or someplace down there bought a couple of acres, clear cut it to plant marijuana.
Yes.
That's the thing that caught my eye, was that, you know, not, you know, and we've talked about the, you know, the benefits and the problems with medicinal marijuana, but this really struck my eye about what happened. We've got to take a quick break, and as
sure.
soon as we come back, I want you to address that if you don't
mind.
Okay, sure. Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Taylor.
Yeah, we're boogieing down. Good morning.
Yeah, girls just want to have fun. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. If it sounds like we have a good time doing this, well, you're absolutely right.
When we wake up at 5:15 and we look at each other, we go, you know, then we just get all, you know, we get all revved up because, you know what, this is just, we love what we do. Anyway, the time is 7:24 in the morning, and we are on the line with Christine. We're talking about growing the pot, medical marijuana, and Christine, Carla, we were discussing a question before we went to break regarding that you had written a letter to the editor, and that really caught our eyes about a piece of property that was bought and cleared next to you. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, the property wasn't next to me. It was, but it was here in Hayfork, and this kind of thing is happening all over Hayfork. I would probably say that the majority of the medical marijuana farmers here don't live here year-round anymore. They buy land and they live someplace else and they come up for the season. So you could, and this happens every day, wake up one day and somebody's moved on to the property next to you with a trailer, brought their dogs and their guns, and they're planting marijuana. And that's what you're going to put up with through the whole growing season.
Now, you mentioned something about those dogs that had mauled somebody. This was part of this?
Well, you know, I'm sorry to be vindicated at somebody else's expense, but the response to my letter, when I went in and read a lot of the blogs at the Record Searchlight, people were very disbelieving and were certain that I was exaggerating the situation to...
I thought you were understating it.
To be dramatic. And actually, when I wrote that letter, we had already had the attack that caused the gentleman to have his leg amputated. And then after, as you know, just recently, the same dogs, which were turned loose by the county, attacked again. And this guy didn't lose any limbs, but he did have to be airlifted to Reading Medical Center. And And now people are saying, well, geez, you know, maybe she does have a point here. Maybe she's not exaggerating.
Well, you know, the point that we want to get across to people is, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, I have my right for my medicinal marijuana. I have my right. But there isn't one person that grows it, sells it, or protects it that believes that it's all for medicinal marijuana. They know that it's being abused, and they know that people are out there making money off it.
Absolutely.
The point we're making here is this, is that, okay, it says by law you can have your medicinal marijuana. It says by law that you can grow X number of plants, or you can give permission to somebody to grow a plant. The problem is that it's their rights end where your nose begins. And,
exactly.
And that's what you wrote, because you're not somebody, you're not an advocate of banning marijuana. You're just an advocate for personal freedom.
I'm an advocate for everybody's personal freedom,
yeah.
And I'm certainly an advocate for the environment and for communities and for families to be able to raise their children without having this in their face all the time. One thing I'd really like to share with the readers, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, a doctor came through town, set up shop in a parking lot, shopping little strip mall parking lot here, and sold 2 15s. And he was here for the day, and he left. That's how easy it is to get a 215.
How much money do you think he made on that?
I understand they go for 250 to 500. I guess it depends on what
yeah.
the public's willing to pay.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that he had an portable examining room set up, and did he have anybody's medical history? Here's something my friends and I like to say as a sad joke. If we have this many sick people in California, then the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta needs to come out and do a cluster study.
Well, there's a cluster, all right, but that's just half the word. So,
because we're really concerned.
You know, Christine, thank you so much for calling in. And hey, you know what? We'd like you to be our correspondent up in Hayford.
Sure.
Would you mind calling in on a regular basis?
Anytime you hear about a dog attack, call me up.
Are you running for mayor of Hayfork?
You know, we don't have a mayor. We were thinking of making our own little government.
Yeah.
How about
Deadwood?
Yeah. There you go. Hey, look. Yeah. No, seriously. You know, I know you write into the paper, but you know, stay in touch with us anytime you want. Hey, this is what's going on up in Hayfork. Give us a call, will you?
Absolutely. We welcome the outlet. Thank you.
You bet. Excellent. You know, we stream up there, so if you got a computer, you can hear it.
Oh no, it's on now, but I'm in the other room, so I don't think it's
a
delay.
All right. Okay.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you,
Christine,
so much for your phone call.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
You know, that's the beautiful thing about this, what we get to do here, Carl, is we get to talk to people like Christine. She is somebody who is active. She will put forth her thoughts. She'll put a phone call out that educates us. Thank you. That's exactly
the
mission.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, you know, you can talk about growing marijuana, and yeah, that's great. Let's grow marijuana. But it does impact another people. And people that sell it in town, it impacts another businesses. And that's where the regulation has to be. You know, you want to smoke it? You know, it's like she said, there's a lot of sick people out here. We should do a cluster study. And with the government doing anything with the word cluster in it is scary to me. Gosh, what can we say? Oh, and then, you know what, on the front page today of the Searchlight, one of the few things they get right is that they had they talked about Chief Hansen has found that one of the dispensaries is having problems. We'll talk about that too. Wow, it's a great day, but you know, today's a big day. The groundbreaking ceremony out in Knighton Road for the veterans home starts at 10:30. Get there early.
We gotta take a break.
This is Carl. I don't know. I see Eric. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
A lot of
right
stuff
here.
Going on here.
Clearly News Talk Radio.
Eric is still in the sky. What's happening here? Good morning. This is Carl and
the Bot.
Welcome
back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. The one time we have people in here to watch what's going on.
And the buttons are
just
confusing today, aren't they?
Yeah, those fingers don't work. Okay.
Hey, let's go to the phones.
Bruce.
Good morning. You are on KCNR. How
are
Friday,
you this morning? It's Friday. Bob's not, and Eric's not having a good day.
Hey, Bruce. Good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, group. Well, I never even slept last night because I was on the road yesterday, and when I got home and watched the news of what happened at our house yesterday, I've never been so disappointed in our country like Michelle. She so likes it. Now, I'm not so sure that, why didn't all the Republicans get up when they stood up and started clapping the president called her on? Why didn't they get up and walk out of the house?
Why didn't he just reach over and go, hey, shorty, this is my country.
Because I think that's probably, I mean, really, and if that's like trying to keep peace and reaching across the aisle,
Linda, it's not working.
Well, here's my thing is that, you know, if you come to my country and you stand up there at my country's capital with my country's president and you denigrate my country, I think there should be something said.
Obama could not have said that in Mexico. I guarantee you.
Well, you know
what? That would not have flown down there. And I think that if you, this is almost to me on the edge of that maybe we ought to have something else happen there. Maybe we should start a recall or something, because this is crazy. The sovereignty of our country has got to come first. It's certainly not coming first from this administration.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is what we started our opening statement with today, is that we as an individual, it begins with us. And so that's why it's really important for us to vote and get the word out for people to vote and to do something to make a difference. I mean, you know, yes, many things can be done on a larger scale and do need to be done on a larger scale. But I know everybody's just in a place, many, many people are in a place, just like you, Bruce, where we're shaken.
Hey, Bruce, thanks so much for your phone call.
You bet.
Okay, let's go to line two. Senator Onestad, welcome aboard.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, we're
it's a big day today.
Well, it's a great day for Reading, and it's a great day for veterans in Northern California.
Well, we understand, Senator, that you had a lot to do with this, with helping to shepherd through the funding bill and everything.
Well, you know, it all started with Maurice Johannesson after they passed the Veterans Bond Act in 2000, and so we got to give Maurice a lot of credit, but after he left office, I picked up the ball and with legislation was able to get some emergency funding that allowed the federal government to continue to do their funding, and it's all coming together.
Well, you know, the thing about it, Senator, is that it's a great day for Reading. It's a great day for veterans, and I hope that we can continue this continued push to support the veterans and the veteran community.
Well, you know, I think Northern California has just done a magnificent job. You know, first the Veterans Cemetery from a couple years ago, that came to fruition. Now a Northern California Veterans Home, and next week we're working on trying to get better medical services up to the North Bay so that the veterans don't have to travel all day just to get an appointment with a doctor.
Well, you know, I've been talking about this, and I mean, I've talked to Herger about it and everything. There's no reason that a World War II veteran needs to travel from Reading all the way down to Beale and back in one day for something that can be handled right here.
Well, we're working on it. Unfortunately, most of the funding is federal, and trying to get that bureaucracy to move is pretty tough. I know Wally's working on it, too, and just like the cemetery, just like this veterans home, we'll make it happen someday.
Well, you know, it would be nice if you could see the administration put a priority on veterans as opposed to some of the other things that we see happening, and in California, too. I know that you all are fighting a good fight, and we appreciate it, Senator.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come up to Reading today and take part in the ceremonies. I hope everybody in town turns out for the groundbreaking.
So do I, sir, and we've been pushing that. I hope that we be able to have you back on the show here in the next week, talk to you a little bit longer on the issues.
We'll make sure that happens.
All right, Senator. Hey, thank you so much for your phone call. I'm looking forward to seeing you out there.
Okay. Good to see you. Good to talk to you guys. Bye-bye.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl Lindebot. Now, we're not going to take a break right yet because we have a studio full of people.
Of actors? What do you mean, of people?
Well,
I mean,
they're
it's
not,
a different
not,
breed,
they're
actors
not
and
people,
actresses.
They're actors.
And directors and people involved
producers.
With theater, writers, you know.
So somebody stand up close to the mic there and let's start introducing people. What's your name, son?
My name is Keenan Voss, and I play Gerald Sims.
Gerald Sims. Okay.
Okay, let's go down the cast.
I'm the director. I'm Janessa Britton.
Good
morning.
Close.
I'm Sandra Terry. I play Carmen Dundee.
Oh, I like that name.
I'm Greg Pate. I play Teddy Hitchell.
Teddy Hitchell.
I'm Lori Voss, and I play Mrs. Sims, Gerald's mom.
Is that cast, or, you know, what do they call it?
In True Life, too.
True Life.
Okay, yes. And?
And I'm Matt McDonald. I play Stu Benchley.
All right.
Stu Benchley.
Many of you have been in theater, I quite some, many of you, except for maybe the boss, mom boss. But okay, now that we've met the actors and the director, shall we talk about the play and what the name of the play is?
Okay. Our play is called Every Little Crook and Nanny. It's written by Pat Cook. And it's just a, I can't find the exact words to describe it, except it's a sweet, cute little play.
Comedy?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Very, very much.
And it's going to be at, where are we going to play it? Riverfront?
At Riverfront Playhouse on East Cypress Street. Opens Saturday night, May 22nd, and runs until June 19th. You can get tickets at Graphic Emporium, and their number is 241-4278.
All right. So, you know, support your local theater, and we're so excited about what Riverfront Playhouse is doing. When is the big opening of the new theater?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
Well, you know, we've already been to the new theater by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had, in fact, I'll say who it was, Mike Quinn. We said, well,
yes,
we're going down Riverfront. Oh, yeah, it's right down there on Placer and Pine. Oh, yeah, so we wandered down there. Oh. We walked down there.
One of those days
and then
we were
stacked. Yeah, it was kind of dark, and it was like, I wonder if Mike really knows what he's talking about.
Is this your first play, Young Voss?
No, I've been in different ones.
Well, you've been in. Weren't you in Gone with the Wind? Didn't you play the baby in Gone with the Wind? Are you sure it looked like you? Oh, you're telling me all babies look alike, right?
Uh-huh,
are you telling me I'm profiling?
So every little nook and cranny tomorrow night, and runs till June.
June 19th.
Well, check it out.
Okay. Now the story is about the what? Exactly, besides a comedy.
Basically, the story is about three nannies that are really good friends. One of the nannies has a boarding house, and that's where all the action takes place in her boarding house. She has a couple of boarders, and there's some mysterious things happening around the town that involve the nannies and their boarding house.
Okay.
But not to give away too much
information. Okay, so it's a comedy mystery type thing.
Yes.
Is there audience participation?
Not yet.
Oh.
Just
you're not planning on audience participation, but they can applaud and laugh, though.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
The audience participation is show up and support the theater.
That's right.
So.
Okay, so you can get your tickets one more time from where?
Graphics Emporium.
Mm-hmm. 241-4278.
Now, can you stop by the theater that night?
Stop by the theater?
Can you stop by and get tickets to the door almost every night.
So how many seats are there, just so that people know?
92 seats.
92 seats? I bet there's not a bad one in the house, is there?
Not at all. It's a great little theater, nice intimate space.
Okay, so we're looking forward to going to see that.
Yeah.
And that's going to go till June 19th. It's going to be Saturday and Sundays. And is there matinees?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday, there's a matinee at 2 p.m.
Okay.
The other day's Friday and Saturday, it's at 7:30 p.m.
And all this is to raise money, of course, for Riverfront.
All right.
This is great. So anything we can do to help, you just
support
let us know.
Support your local theater. We'll see you guys there.
All right.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
That's for me.
Oh.
Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm waiting for it.
I don't know if it's on there.
Oh, is it just a loop?
Ready, boo?
Oh!
Here we are.
There we go. Wait.
Start walking.
Woo! That's us today. Are you on fire?
This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. My boots are ablaze. Hey, if you're going out to the VA for the groundbreaking at the VA home today, that there's breakfast at TNA truck stop at the Country Pride restaurant. For 6 to 9:30 for vets and their wives. That's right. It's a free breakfast for veterans and their wives. They're serving pancakes and eggs on your way out to the Country Pride restaurant. You know, and while you're out there in that area, you know, B&T Satellite is giving away a complete wireless sound system that you can use indoors or outdoors. All you have to do is go to B&T Satellite on our Airport Road and fill out the form and enter to win this $450 value. That's right, $450. It's free. It'll play anything, iPhones, cassettes, CDs, iPods, your old 8-track. You can plug it in, and it's going to work. It's perfect for the summer, and they are giving it away. All you have to do is go to the B&T Satellite on Charlotte Drive, right on Airport Road, and enter. We're going to have do a drawing on the 28th. You can have your system for the summer. They'll deliver it. They'll show you how it works. They'll set it up. And we're going to do a remote that day. So come on down to B&T Satellite, sign up, register, and win a $450 wireless sound system. What a day. Let's go to line one. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
How are you?
We're wonderful.
Hey. How you doing, Indian?
I'm doing well. I need to speak to Linda.
Okay, I'm right here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Linda. Happy birthday to you.
Beautiful. Beauty. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Hey, are you going to be, thank you so much. Now, you're going to be out there today. Are you going to be driving the Longhorn?
No, I'm not taking the long ride out there. I don't want to take anything away from the Veterans Home Dollar thing. So I'm just helping out with the I'm in the background with the Walmart guys over there helping out. So.
Hey, I understand so awesome. That Walmart is providing the food for the luncheon afterwards.
Yes, they are.
And
yes, they are.
I have not really mentioned that so much, but there is a luncheon afterwards that they take donations. But it's again, it's to raise money for this.
All the money goes to the veterans' home.
That's
every,
right.
Every stinking red cent. Yeah. So it's a very good cause. Go ahead.
You got your show tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock.
Show tomorrow morning. Hey, wedding. Welcome to Let's Celebrate Indian Day.
The only thing that's missing is that. Cowbell that just makes me want to fly out of bed.
I'm here somewhere. Do you want me to look for it here?
No, I don't.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, thanks for the
you know, we'll be streaming like you guys.
Dave, thanks so much for the phone call.
Yes, sir. Hey, you guys have a great day, and I'm mad as hell, and I'm not taking it anymore.
You shouldn't. So. None of us should.
I'm going to stand up with the rest of you.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Have a wonderful day.
You bet. See you at 10:30. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got Joe Adamson's going to come on and tell us what's wrong with your body. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
The auditor.
You better believe it. Listen. I'm telling you right now, he knows the music, but he knows Eric Lancaster. He's at the board today. He knows exactly what kind of music gets me
going.
Doesn't
know which button to push.
Chance of showers today. Ugh. But that's all right. You know what? We're going to stand with our faces if it's showering because we're going to be out at the groundbreaking ceremony for the Veterans Home, state of the art. And you know what?
And the sun's shining right now.
It just is a place that we need to be to honor the breaking of the ground, all those people that worked so hard to make this happen, and it's going to be a future home with 155 beds, employing 220 people, 26 acres. It is something for us to really be proud of and to thank our legislative body that helped make this happen. So, I mean, it's true. It's going to be there for the people and the people who serve this country. Now, for the first caller, 605-4567, you are going to get the first caller, Eric, a T-shirt and a ticket for the luncheon today. Got to pick it up right after the show, though, like at 9:10. So make sure when you call 605-4567, you're going to do that. Currently 51 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Let's go to the phones. Joe.
Yes, sir.
Joe Adamson, Adamson's Peak Performance. What's up today, Joe?
Hey, well, I just wanted to give a few tips for some of your listeners who haven't started exercising yet or who feel like they've gotten off the track.
Okay, let's do it because you got us back on track, and
all
so
right,
we're
excellent.
All about it.
Well, three quick tips. One is join a social group or an exercise group with some friends that will just help to keep you accountable. One of my clients just gave me an article out of the Wall Street Journal that indicated that even just a computerized phone call once every 3 weeks drastically increased activity level for people that just got that phone call. So just get some friends, a social group that you're already in, and keep each other accountable with an occasional phone call. Tip number two is use the magic number of 8. Get to the gym or meet with some friends 8 times a month. People think, oh, man, I've got to work out, 6 days a week, 4 hours a day. Hey, just start out with 8. The magic number of 8 get to the gym 8 times and good things are going to start happening.
And that's just a couple times a week.
That's twice a week.
You can do that. We can do that. We do it.
You do
it. You can do it.
Everybody can do it.
If we can do it, yeah. Anybody can do it.
I mean,
it.
We always have a gazillion excuses that we're so busy, but, you know, we look at each other and go, we have to do this because it's part of the regime to be strong with everything that's going on in our world. We've got to keep strong.
As, you know, you're talking 45 to 60 minutes a day, if you know, twice, you know, and it's like, how much time do people sit in front of the TV in the evenings and spend, you know? So there really, honestly, there really is no excuse why you can't, start with that magic number of 8. And the third thing is just maybe consider hiring a personal trainer for 4 to 12 weeks. There again, the accountability factor comes in, and a trainer can save you a lot of time in the long run as far as efficiency. You know, time well spent, avoiding injuries, how to progress, and a lot of other things.
Well, thank you, Joe. And I want to share today with our listeners that, you know, Carl and I started to work out with you guys before we got married, and then we got busy doing a lot of things, and we would come and go and come and go, but we decided to rededicate ourselves and just in April. And we started the Take Shape for Life, and we've been following it, not 100%, but we've been following it and going out and working with the personal trainer a couple times a week. Well, both of us have dropped a waist size. We've dropped 10 pounds. And I'm just saying, on my birthday today, I feel like I'm back in a size that I'm feeling that feeling that you feel when you're fit and feisty.
Linda's back.
I'm back.
And it's her birthday.
On both ends.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's a great testimonial.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Thanks, Carl. We'll see you guys next time.
You bet.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Joe.
Let's go to John. John, good morning. John, you're on line one.
Good morning, Linda and Carl.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Great.
Peachy.
Fantastic. Happy birthday, Linda.
Thank you so much. Congratulations on winning the T-shirt.
Well, thank you so much. Listen, I have a couple reasons I wanted to call, and mostly to wish you a happy birthday, but in regards to your morning statement, I wanted to talk about the persecution of migrating drug runners up the I-5 corridor. I certainly think President Obama should apologize to Migration President Calderon for our police actions in busting his ambassadors of corruption migrating up our interstate. I'm getting really fed up with this. I don't know. This apologizing to criminals, and I consider at this point President Calderon encouraging people to migrate to the United States because of the corruption in Mexico is encouraging criminality in both directions, the illegal migration and the criminals fighting these drug wars down on the border. How about doing something to stop it
here,
at
John,
his side?
Here, John, here's an analogy. I have my home. People are breaking into my home. I take action because they're inside my home. I protect myself. I protect my family. I beat them. I throw them out. And then the police comes in and arrest
them.
They apologize to them for entering my house, entering into my space, and then they chastise me for doing that. And
exactly.
I said, wait a minute, this is my house. You're supposed to protect me. Well, we can't be everywhere. You know, this is exactly what it is,
and
as far as I'm concerned, the federal government is wrong. They have got to...
And your neighbors stand up and applaud.
They should. They should have stood up, and you know what? Everybody that disagreed with Calderon should have stood up and then turned their back on him.
Or walked out.
Even better.
You know what? I mean, this thing is just, it's abysmal. I cannot believe that this is even being allowed. What has happened to our personal pride?
You want to change. Everybody want to change. And what's happened is that we've gotten...
Got it.
Yeah, how's that hopey changey thing going
no,
for
No, what's
you?
Happening is our country has gotten soft in the belly.
Linda, you couldn't be more true. And that comes on very well after Joe just was on talking about getting hard in the belly.
Well, I guess that is a good segue.
We've got a break here.
Yeah, we do. We've got to take a hard break for the news.
Happy birthday, Linda.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
We'll see you out there. It is true. We've got to go to Fox News here. But it's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio.
And our guest in the next hour will be Kurt Starman, city manager. We've got a few questions for him. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:06 on Friday, May 21st, Linda's birthday. Hey, we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. You can call us at 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Find us walk-in tobacco place, humidor in the North State, maybe even all of California. Espresso Joe's gets the coffee that you want at the prices that are fair. And you can watch your computer. You can play with your computer in their meeting room, but they have free Wi-Fi. Joe and Shelley are supporters of our community, especially the veterans community. I can't say enough about what they do for our community. That's Tobacco and Brew.
And we're not there today. Usually Fridays we stream live and do an afternoon show. We're not going to be there today, obviously, because of the groundbreaking with the Veterans Home. Our guest today is Kurt Starman, and we have questions that have come in with emails, people wanting to ask our city manager questions. But before we go there, we have an announcement.
Yeah, that's right. You know, today, of course, is the groundbreaking ceremony for the Veterans Home. You know, the governor's there, you know, everybody that has had anything to do with this, will be there. There'll be some people that are not there, though. Some of the Patriot Guard riders will not be there at the groundbreaking ceremony. The reason for that is there's a mission. There's a mission for another warrior, another hero that's being interred up at IGO. So many of the Guard are going up there for Gary L. Grider, a U.S. Army veteran. And the escort is beginning at McDonald's at about the same time. So that's where many of the men and women of the PGR are doing what they are organized for, doing what they stand for. They're standing for veterans who can no longer stand for themselves. All right. Let's go to Kurt. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Oh, great. Thanks for being on.
You're welcome. Happy birthday, Linda.
Well, thank you so much. And there's so many things going on, not only in our country, but let's just look locally here. And we are taking calls, 605-4567, if you have a question for Kurt Starman. So tell us, really, I'm sure, to start off, not the state of affairs, but the state of affairs of what's happening within our city.
You know, probably I'll start with a sort of paraphrasing, I guess, Charles Dickens, in many ways, kind of the best of times and worst of times. And so on that second topic, obviously it's a very difficult economy for, both the private and public sector here in California and across the nation. So we, like other cities and counties, are certainly dealing with that issue in terms of the impact of this global recession on city budgets and so forth. And we can talk more about that later if you like. But on the flip side of the coin, it's also a very exciting time. A lot of good things happening in Reading. And, first and foremost is what you all just talked about a moment ago, and that is today the groundbreaking for the new veterans facility off on Airport Road out by the municipal airport. Great project. It's going to be fantastic for the community. And a lot of other good things happening in Reading. We're looking at a new courthouse downtown. We're looking at a lot of improvements in the downtown area. It's been a really exciting time for downtown Reading in particular over the past year with a lot of private investment and good things happening. So, there's a lot of good things happening, but it's also a very difficult economy.
Well, the renaissance, you're talking about downtown. We've started noticing. I mean, we've noticed it. We've got building going on next door. We've got another place opening on the other side of us down here.
And you guys are part of it. You guys are a part of the renaissance.
Well, you know what? we never thought of it like that. But if we could be, we'd be very proud to be a part of that, because I think that the downtown Reading area, there's so much room for improvement there.
But you know what? It's true, because we are, for the first time in my life, we're employers. I've always been an employee, so now we are employers, and we have to pay all of the taxes that go along with that, workman's comp, employee taxes, and that's something that's new and unusual for me, and for us. I don't know
it
about
is.
You, but
you know what? We do have somebody on the phone that we need to get to right now before the break. Let's go to line one. Good morning. You're on KCNR Radio.
Hi, Dad.
Well, hello, Jennifer. Hello, my daughter.
Happy birthday, Linda.
Well, thank you.
You're calling from New Mexico. Are you listening on the computer there?
I am. I looked everything up, and I'm actually learning how to do it. Michael wants to say happy birthday. Is that okay?
Yeah. That's Mike.
Happy birthday, Grandma Linda.
Happy birthday.
That's Mike, and he's all 4 years old.
Tell me that's not what it's all about right there. That's our 4-year-old grandson.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Is Ashlyn there?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's so cute. You know.
So yes. What's the news? Is there news I'm supposed to know about?
Well, we're live. We're broadcasting live right now, and we have our city manager sitting here, and we're talking about the state of affairs with our beautiful North State Reading in Reading.
Oh, okay.
And what else kind of news? Oh, yes. The news that you need to know is that Carl was selected as Veteran of the Year for the North State by Jim Nielsen, District 2, and that was the big honor bestowed on him yesterday.
Wow. Congratulations, Dad.
Well, you know, there's it is an honor, and I can think of, you know, 100 other people that deserve it just as much, if not more. So I kind of accept for all of them.
Well, that's good. That's great. Dad, you deserve it.
Well,
you deserve it so much.
Well, that's only, you know, it's good to have a daughter have all this faith in you, honey. Hey, baby, we got to run, so thank you so much for calling. You got anything else?
That's all. I just wanted to say happy birthday to Linda and give us a call when you have a chance.
All right.
Well, it's good when you have your own show and you can do these things.
Well, That's right. I love you guys.
I love you too. Well, I put in a Facebook, of course. You know that's
all right. Bye, bye, honey.
Thanks.
Bye.
I put in a Facebook, of course, Kurt. You know that how many people stay abreast on everything with Facebook. And I said I've got a surprise to tell you about your father. So that's what she's asking on the air. I all of a sudden was like, what? You know. So, well, if you don't mind, we're going to take a break, and I'm coming back. We've got some emails that have come in that are questions for Kurt Starman, as well as taking your calls here on KCNR. The phone line, the hotline to the studio, 605-4567. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, clearly News Talk Radio.
There's a whole...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's Linda's birthday. We're having a great day today. We're going to leave as soon as the show's over, head on out to the groundbreaking for the Veterans Home. Our phone line's here, 605-4567, or you can send us an email, as many people have, to Linda at KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Kurt Starman, city manager. And there's my first question, Kurt, is this.
Yes, sir.
Did you actually think the bank robbery was going to help you balance the budget?
You know, definitely that was one part of the motivation. You know, we're looking for cash right now, so that was part of the motivation.
Well, we've been discussing that, and we think that perhaps we were thinking too small. We should go to a place that steals our water and take their money. And
I think that's a great idea.
Balance our budget. Make it a city project.
Okay, we've got lots of emails here, and let's just go. This is important. These are listeners that are emailing in. Maybe they don't feel like calling, and just would like to do it this way. First question for Kurt. Do you think we're out of the woods yet with these budget cuts, or do you see more on the horizon? Any sign that the economy and sales tax revenue are bottoming out or picking up?
Yeah, that's a great question. And unfortunately, my crystal ball is a little fuzzy these days, like most people. But you know, I'll give you my 2 cents on that topic. And I'll start by just providing some context, which is, and I mentioned earlier before the break, that obviously this has been a difficult economy for many, both public and private. Just as by way of example, sales tax revenue, for example, is a big portion of our general fund budget. That's the budget we use to pay for, you know, basic municipal services, police and fire protection, you know, park and recreation, things of that nature. We've seen our sales tax revenue decrease from about 3 years ago, about $23.1 million, down to this year, about $16.8 million. And so that's more than a $6 million reduction in sales tax revenue, which is staggering by itself. But when you think about what that means in the local economy, we get one penny of the city, gets one penny of every dollar of retail sales. And so if you think about what that means in terms of a loss to the local economy, that's $600 million of less economic activity in the community, which is just staggering for a community the size of Reading and Shasta County. So it's definitely been a difficult time, and we've seen that across the board with all of our revenue sources, property tax, our hotel bed tax, and you know, virtually across the board. So to answer the question, I think we are seeing, you know, on a national level at least, some sign that we're reaching the bottom of a very difficult business cycle. But I think it's also fair to say I think California in particular will lag that recovery, and I think Reading and Shasta County in particular will also lag even California. So I think we may be near the bottom of a business cycle, although that is not for certain yet. But I think we're getting to that point. But I think in terms of Reading and Shasta County, there's going to be another couple, three hard years. Now, my hope is that we sort of bottom out, and most economists would say that once we reach that point, that we're not going to see a real dramatic or quick increase in the economy. It's going to be a very long recovery, and it'll take several years to recapture what was lost. So I think we have some tough years ahead of us, quite frankly, at least two more tough years ahead of us.
You know, just when you think that things may be changing, you see that the unemployment, the people applying for unemployment, jumped 20,000, the most they've had in 3 months, you know. So, you know, it's got people reeling. Let's go to the phones here. We've got John on line one. Good morning, John. You're on line one.
Good morning, Carl, and again. And, Kurt, I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
At the city council meeting last week, there was a CSAC committee report that I thought was pretty exceptional for all the work they'd done, all the days that they'd put in concerning the condition and the disposition of the Civic Center, the convention center. And I was happy with every part of what they said because they were right on target. But I was a little disappointed that they only contacted the two largest exhibition production companies in regards to privatization. And I felt like, wouldn't it be wise to put out an RFI to some of the smaller exhibition companies on the West Coast, including possibly Turtle Bay, which I know is a maelstrom when I bring that up, but to consider privatizing the convention center and bringing it up to code and making it a worthwhile endeavor.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I give a couple thoughts in there. It looks like we're close to a break. I'll try to do this concisely. We can come back to it afterwards if we need to. But
okay,
real quickly,
we'll take our time.
Okay.
On that.
So CSAC, first of all, for your listeners' benefit, CSAC is an acronym that stands for the Community Services Advisory Commission. That's a group of citizens that the council appoints to advise the council on various topics. And as John just mentioned, that commission's been looking at the convention center, which is heavily subsidized by the city with transient occupancy tax. And also, as the caller mentioned, you know, it's an aged facility. It really needs some improvements. We estimate at least $2.5 million of deferred maintenance that need to be, you know, improvements to the facility over the next several years. So one of the tasks of, or maybe the main task, quite frankly, of the commission from the council was to look at the possibility of, you know, does it make sense to privatize this facility in the sense where the city would own the facility, but rely upon a private company to manage and to book the facility. And so the commission did take that charge seriously and did contact two of the larger, I think actually maybe three, but received responses from two, but three of the larger companies in the nation that do that type of or provide that type of service. And you know, the response was underwhelming from the commission's perspective. And ultimately, the commission came to the conclusion that because of the size of the facility, the geographic area here in Reading, and just sort of our market, that the possibility of privatization probably was not great. And so the recommendation was for the city to continue to operate that facility with city personnel. But I think John makes a good point that maybe this is a niche market, and maybe there are smaller companies on the West Coast that might be a better fit. And so, you know, certainly that's an option, is to continue to look and explore. Maybe it takes a smaller company that's able to come into a smaller market like this and, you know, develop a niche.
Kurt, I look at it like, and I hate to keep beating this horse, but corporations owning things and individuals owning things. You get a corporation that comes in here and says they will do it, but, you know, it's going to cost this much money, where maybe a small corporation can come in there. They don't have the overhead. They don't have any of that, and they can make a money out of this thing. You know, I think that it's very. I think we need to keep looking at it for something like that if it's going to save the dream. We got to take a quick break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Kurt Starman. We have lots of questions for Kurt when we get back. Join us after these messages.
Where do you?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl Lindebaut on KCNR 1460.
It's 8:24 in the morning. It's going to be a high of 63 today, currently 53 degrees. Chance of showers, like 40%. But we don't want to think that, you know, because we're
going
to still go out to the groundbreaking.
We're going.
I know, totally. It's going to be mostly cloudy, like I said, with a high of near 63. The weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. Now, on to our emails.
Okay, another question for our city manager, Kurt Sterling. What's the cost of the city for attorney fees? I guess they're annually.
Just attorney fees in general?
Well, then how many attorneys does the city employ? And are the city's attorneys' fees for this year more or less than last year?
Okay, well, I don't have precise figures in front of me, but I'll kind of answer that in a general sense. So let me just start with talking about we have the city of Reading is a pretty large municipal corporation. We have about $300 million budget, and over 1,000 employees, and we do a lot of different things, including an electric utility and a water utility and so forth. So we have a lot of complex topics. On city staff, we have a city attorney's office that includes the city attorney, and that individual is Rick Duvernay. He's appointed directly by the city council. There's really just two positions in the city that are sort of hired and fired by the city council. That's the city manager, my position, and the city attorney. So we have the city attorney, and then we have two assistant city attorneys that work with him in his office, and then there's two support staff in that office as well.
So three city attorneys then, right. one and two assistants.
Three professional attorneys and then two assistants, paraprofessionals that work in that office. And in terms of outside legal counsel, actually we're able, because we have that expertise in-house, we handle a lot of our legal issues with internal staff, which is very cost-effective. But definitely there are issues that either complex litigation or sometimes in the electric industry in particular, which is very complex and highly regulated, where we do use outside legal counsel. And so particularly like in the electric industry, that would be a good example where it's very common for us to use outside legal assistance. Sometimes in other areas, if municipal bond issues would be an example, which are very complex and highly regulated. So there are examples where we do use outside legal counsel as well. I don't have the money right, or the dollars in front of me today.
Did they take cuts in their pay like everybody else did, or give up raises and such?
You know, the city attorney in particular, I'll take this opportunity to compliment him, actually, but both the city attorney and I both felt it was important for we as leaders of the organization to set that example and lead by example. So the city attorney actually is taking three unpaid furlough days per month, and that's for him, that's about a 12% pay decrease. And also, going back in time in 2008, he actually gave back a raise that was given to him earlier in the year and essentially gave that back to the city. So he's certainly done his part to show leadership and to step up to the plate.
What about the other two attorneys?
Yeah, I think both of the assistant city attorneys are also taking one unpaid furlough day per month, which is about a 4.6% pay decrease, and then none of our management employees, which includes the two assistant city attorneys, none of them have received a pay, just a general pay increase or cost of living adjustment since 2008.
Are the city's attorney fees for this year more or less than last year, which is also part of the question from a listener here? Are the city attorney fees for this year more or less than last year?
Yeah, I apologize. I don't have the budget in front of me, so I can't answer that. But I think just a general statement, our budget from year to year, we've cut all budgets, including the city attorney's budget. So I would guess that the city attorney's budget this year versus a year or two ago is down, pretty significantly, but I don't have the figures in front of me.
You know, as city manager, the city staff has a lot of power, even though that they work for the city council. A lot of the things, the paperwork that's done, a lot of the opinions are put out by the city staff, yet it's the city council that makes the decisions. City council is catching fire all the time from people. Yet it's many times it's the city staff that's telling them these are the things that need to be voted on and all of that. Do you think that the city staff is enjoying the it's kind of like high cover for them with the city council, or do you think that how much power does the city staff have?
Yeah, let me start by just kind of giving the context for the form of government that we use in Reading. This is the form of government. It's called the council manager form of government, and it's used extensively in California in particular. There's about 480 incorporated cities in California, and by far the vast majority, 80% or better, use what's called the council manager form of government. And just to partially will answer your question, that form of government really came in the early 1900s and was part of kind of that good government movement where there was a lot of corruption back in that time frame, the 1800s, late 1800s and early 1900s, of people get elected to office, they give contracts to their buddies, they hire their uncle, they hire their aunt, that type of thing. And so what came out of that was this council manager form of government in the early 1900s as a good government movement. And the idea was to sort of replicate or take the better pieces or parts of kind of a corporate model where there's a board of directors and a chief executive officer, except in city government that's called the city council, which is equivalent to a board of directors, and there is the city manager, which is in city equivalent to a chief executive officer. So my job is, and then by extension the city staff, I think my job is as city manager is to provide good factual information to the council, to provide good analysis and alternatives and make good sound business recommendations to the council. But ultimately at the end of the day, those recommendations and all that information goes to the council, and I'm obviously as a city manager at the table and a part of that process. But ultimately, it's the council, and that's democracy. The council is the elected officials, you know, ultimately make the final call. And it's a tough job. You know, they make a whopping $600 per month,
yeah,
and it's a very difficult job.
Okay, we've got to take a break. Our guest is Kurt Starmer, city manager of Reading. We're going to have to be talking to Kurt for the next half hour. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 1460, currently 53 degrees. It's 8:34 in the morning, and I want to thank, oh, you guys, Bonnie and Jim Sharp, thanks so much. And I can't wait to sink my teeth into the fabulous, I think it's zucchini chocolate bread, and I'm indulging this morning. So thank you so much for the lovely birthday card. And really appreciate your sentiments there. Let's go to questions. Our guest, of course, if you're just tuning in, is Kurt Starmer. Good morning and welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Linda.
Here's a question from one of our listeners on email. Why doesn't the city form a nonprofit corporation to run the convention center and redevelopment funds to fix up the center?
Well, I'll start with the last question first. So the city does have an active redevelopment agency, and we have four active project areas. But unfortunately, the convention center itself is not in one of those project areas, so it would be difficult from a legal perspective, a technical perspective, to use redevelopment funds for that purpose. With regard to different models to own and operate the convention center, yeah, that may be a good scenario to take a look at. Today, you know, for all intents and purposes, the city of Reading as a government entity is a not-for-profit or non-profit corporation.
Boy, you all proven that.
Yeah, there you go, exactly, in this environment, in this economy. So, you know, today we don't have, as just like a non-profit, some of the advantages a non-profit brings, of course, is, you know, the not to generate profits for shareholders or the owners of the business, and that's true for the city as well. There's no, you know, profit motive or, you know, we don't need to generate a profit for the main corporation, so to speak. So in some ways, the city does bring some of those advantages of a nonprofit to the table. But I would also say that a nonprofit, and particularly a smaller nonprofit, you know, as we mentioned before our last break, you know, perhaps as a smaller entity, may have some more flexibility, may be more nimble, maybe do some things that the city can't do as a government agency. So that's an interesting thought.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
There you go.
A couple questions again from our listeners. The thin blue line, it's getting stretched. And we've got what comments we've had over the past few weeks, especially with all the dispensaries and cooperatives that have been opening up here for the medicinal marijuana. The police, and we're looking at less police perhaps in the future. Do we see that the line's going to be stretched so thin that it's going to break, or it won't be able to do everything it's supposed to?
Yeah, I think that's a very legitimate concern, and one that I worry about, and Police Chief Peter Hansen worries about. Let me start on a bit of an digression. You mentioned the medical marijuana collectives and cooperatives first as kind of an example of that. So I just want, I guess for the record, let me just say that on that topic in particular, the City of Reading has put together an ordinance and a regulatory environment where we've actually issued 19 permits to medical marijuana collectives and cooperatives here in Reading. And actually, you know, this is relatively new. It went into effect essentially in January through, you know, today. But actually, from a law enforcement perspective, we've not had major issues or problems there. And, you know, talk with the police chief and our police officers. So we've had a couple of examples, sort of neighbor-to-neighbor type disputes, particularly in the Mission Square area. But really, with that exception, that's not been a really huge, significant law enforcement topic, and so, you know, that's a good thing. But back to your main point, in terms of, you know, we've already talked about the economy and its impact both on the public and private entities. We've had to reduce our budget dramatically. We a few years back, 2-3 years back, had a budget of about $74 million. Today, that budget's about $62 million. So we've made some huge reductions. The city council, this council, and past councils have always put an emphasis and priority on public safety, police, and fire in particular. So if you look at the cuts that we've made to date in terms of sort of a proportion of budget, you know, right now the fire department and police department account for about 62% of our general fund budget, but we've not made 62% of the cuts in those two departments. The city council has made deeper cuts elsewhere. But with that said, we have made some really huge, significant cuts in our police department in particular, mostly up to this point through attrition, although we are looking at the possibility of laying off four officers at the end of June. But actually, to date, we've not had to lay off any sworn police officers, but that may change shortly in the end of June. But I worry about that quite a bit in terms of, in terms of policing and law enforcement. And we've done an excellent job, both Chief Hansen and his predecessors have done a great job, for example, on gangs in the community. We do not have, we do have some gang activity, and I don't want to, mislead anybody on that topic. But compared to other areas that are close to us, like Red Bluff, Chico, Orland, and Willows, for example, we've done an excellent job in that regard. And it's because we're proactive and we're out there looking for those topics and we nip them in the bud. And as we continue to reduce our workforce and number of officers and reduce budgets, that means less proactive time to deal with issues like that and more sort of reactive time where we're going from call to call to call. And that does have long-term implications. We're less able to get in front of a topic. And so I worry about that as well.
You know, I'm bringing it up because, when you have, I think it's a lot of times that the aura of a community, when you see something, if there is a great deal of, and I'm not saying that I'm against the collectives. I'm not. I think they do need to be regulated. But I'm thinking is that when you have that many, does it give? Is it telling other people that do not live in Redding that Redding may be a different type of town than they think, and it attracts people? That was just a concern I have. Another question we've had is that there is a concern, or there's somebody has said that there are over 80 managers that work for the city of Redding that make over $100,000 a year. Is that true?
Well, I don't have the number, but I'll say because we have that may or may not be true. I have to look at the figure, but I will say that because we are a full service city, and the area I'm thinking about in particular is our electric utility, and we need to be obviously competitive with, the private companies of the world like the Pacific Gas and Electrics. We do have a number of managers in our electric utility in particular that do earn $100,000 or more. I'll say as a general statement, though, let me get some credit where credit is due as well, and that is that, our management team has really stepped up to the plate and really led by example here. All of our department directors, because of this economy, and this is, for our department directors in our general fund, which is really where we're really being hit by this recession, but also for all of our utilities, all of our department directors are taking 2 unpaid furlough days per year, which is, per month, which is about 9.2% pay cut. And again, none of them have received a cost of living adjustment since 2008. And that's true across the board. So, I think people really stepping up the plate. We've also, as part of our budget reductions, we've eliminated 3 department director positions, our personnel director, our municipal utility director, and our economic development director. We've reassigned duties and spread the load. So, I think the management team, we have a couple things. One is we're very blessed, quite frankly, to have an excellent management team at the City of Redding. They do a great job, and they'll do a lot of things that people don't think about. When you turn on your light switch and your light comes on, you don't think about what it takes to make that happen. It's a complex industry, and we have great people that work for the city, and they do a great job.
Great. We're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Kurt Starman. We want to come back. We've got a number of other questions for Kurt. And, right now he's getting fanned by somebody in the corner. He's getting putting his mouthpiece back in. We're coming back right after this round. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
This is happy music.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're here with Kurt Starman, our city manager.
Let's not forget tonight. Tonight is Senior Idol, the second annual Senior Idol at the Cascade Theater. I don't know. Last time I talked to the girls three or four days ago, the only tickets left were the very, very top row. I'm feeling because they didn't call and come by and give tickets. They're done.
Yeah, I think
they're bye-bye.
But if they're not, you can stop by there and see if you can get in. But I tell you what, last year I went there. I said I was going to be polite. I was so entertained by that group last year. I tell you what, outstanding. And I would urge anybody to go there. The other thing I would urge you to do is tomorrow at Hilltop Estates on Hilltop Drive, they're having a veterans barbecue from 4 to 7 p.m. They're going to have color guards, a flyover by the California Highway Patrol. They're going to have lots of door prizes, and the proceeds are going to be used to build a patriotic wall there. These people up there at Hilltop Estates treat the veterans very well and encourage. And it's a retirement home that takes care of our veterans and others, of course. But they are great people there. I would encourage you to go there if you've got. If you want to participate in this, 4 to 7 p.m. Hilltop Estates on Hilltop Drive.
We're really grateful that you are accessible. You come on the radio station here on Free Fire Radio. People can ask questions. And this is the time where people want to ask hard questions. Maybe they don't want to show up and be face-to-face. And, you know, I don't know what that's about. But so we've got emails coming in, and I think that this is a good question.
Okay.
Mr. Starman just described to the way the city is set up. In October, the city council set the Oasis Project as the highest priority for the city. We are over 6 months later, and it seems everything has to go before council, before you, Starman, do anything. Three questions. Why is that it appears the city is stalling, too, and why is that project taking so long, and are you opposed or have a conflict with the project?
That's a very complex and expensive project. So the topic for the just a broader description for the listeners' benefit, real quick. This is dealing with the basically the development of the Oasis Road I-5 area, and one big piece of that puzzle is to essentially rebuild and expand the current interchange. So a pretty expensive proposition. Actually, we've been able to. I guess the good news first is that we've been able to secure some federal stimulus money, and actually we're out to bid right now on what we refer to as phase one of that interchange project. So that's out to bid now. We anticipate that will be complete by the end of the calendar year. Essentially, that will widen the existing ramps. It will add a new loop ramp that would head south toward Reading, and also would provide signals at the intersection as well. The council back the individual sent the email in. The council back in 2009 did identify and voted on Oasis Road as its highest priority, and we've had a lot of success since that time, including, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what that was.
It's a caller.
Yeah. So. Including the phase one project I just mentioned. We're also in discussions right now with one of the major property owners and developers in that area, Levinson Development Company, and so those negotiations occur. But these are very complex transactions. The estimate for the infrastructure out there, both the interchange and water lines and other infrastructure, is many, many millions of dollars. And so it's difficult to put together a financing plan, particularly when we're in the depths of the Great Recession right now. But we're working very hard on that issue, and it's a high priority for the council, and so consequently it's a high priority for city staff as well and for me.
So you're not opposed to it?
To the Oasis Road? No.
Yeah. Okay.
We've been working in earnest to try to make that happen. As I mentioned, we'll construct phase one this year.
The big fight right now is on the pensions. Where do you see that going?
Yeah, that's really a phenomenon up and down California. So just a little bit of background there real quick as well. But the primary pension system for the city of Reading and most cities and counties in California is called CalPERS, Public Employees Retirement System. In the city of Reading, we have two different plans, essentially. One is for law enforcement and firefighters. That's known as the 3% at 50 program. And in essence, you get when you retire from the city of Reading as a police officer or firefighter, you get 3% for every year of service up to a maximum of 90% of your salary. A similar program for non-public safety individuals. That program is known as a 2.7 at 55, but a similar concept. I think there's widespread agreement, at least amongst city managers in California and many city councils and elected board of supervisors, that the current program, the CalPERS program that many of us have in place today, is really difficult to sustain going forward from an economic perspective.
Difficult or impossible?
Well, I guess nothing's impossible. What it means, though, is going forward, is that so much money will be directed toward both pay and benefits that it leaves little money for other things. And so it's unsustainable in the sense that so much money gets diverted toward pay and benefits, there's little money left over for other things the community needs to be healthy. So, this city council and others up and down the state, the city council has identified this issue as a high priority in terms of negotiations with we have eight different labor groups that represent city employees. So the city council and past city councils have identified this issue in terms of retirement benefits, both medical benefits and retirement pay, as a high priority for reform going forward.
We'll just take a break here. I'd like to ask, though, when we come back, is I know that we've gotten into the fistfights at all levels over this CalPERS, and it's throughout the whole state, though. I mean, like you said, and part of it was based on the fact that that it was, in the stock market and funds being invested, and that, from what I understand, the stock market had to, double up to 25,000, share or up to the 25,000s to try and sustain this. But is our only choice, when I understand, is either the people that are involved in CalPERS start paying a lot more, or we stop everything except to pay for the pension and health care plans. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different options there. One is, you know, today the city of Reading, as the employer, pays the total bill, so to speak, for the retirement system. So one potential way to mitigate that cost issue is to spread that cost and have employees pay a portion and the employer pay a portion, which is, you know, obviously the model in the private sector. And another potential solution, this is a longer-term solution, is but many cities are putting in what's called a two-tier system where, you know, people that work for a city or county today are vested with the retirement plan they have, but new employees, when they come on board, they get something different and less.
Got to take a break here. We're talking with Kurt Starman. We've got more emails coming in that we're going to ask our city manager after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Kurt Starman, and let's go to the phones. Gary, we only got a minute, Gary.
Good morning, Gary. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. Very quickly.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Linda.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Mr. Starman, there are two parking structure loans that in the downtown parking area that are owed to REU. And is the redevelopment agency looking forward to paying those loans off? One of them is 40 years old, and the other one is 38 years old. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary's referring to the parking structures that were originally built to accommodate what was known as a downtown mall at that time. And so there were a number of internal loans, including from the Reading Electric Utility to the redevelopment agency to help construct those parking structures. And, you know, the downtown mall had kind of a double whammy from the get-go. One was with the passage of Proposition 13, property tax values were rolled back, and so that redevelopment area has not really generated as much anywhere near the amount of money that it was originally anticipated. And also the other, in terms of the double whammy, was the Mount Shasta Mall opened just a year or two later and really took all the business to the east side of the town. So the issue then is that the revenue source, what's available out there to repay those loans. So the agency has made payments over the years, but there's still an outstanding balance. And my recollection is the agency, the Reading Redevelopment Agency, is considering and will consider a repayment strategy or some information about that topic, I think, in the August 2010 meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have emails that we have to get to here with just a few minutes left. This is Kurt. This person had a chance to participate yesterday in a Shasta Economic Development Corporation tour of the Stillwater Business Park. The work completed is very impressive. Can you comment on what you feel sets the Stillwater Business Park apart from other industrial property up and down the I-5 corridor?
Yeah, a couple things there. So one, I'll start by acknowledging that project's been, you know, somewhat controversial in the community in terms of that, is that an appropriate role for government and the amount of money it takes to put that infrastructure in. But to answer the specific question, the advantages and really the large part of the rationale for that business park is that you know, we've had the experience in Reading over the past 20 years of having potential economic development projects that we just could not accommodate because of timelines or because we didn't have large parcels available. So some of the things that set Stillwater apart will be we have some very large parcels available for large manufacturing facilities up to 100 acres or larger. Because the city developed and owns the park, we have the ability to work directly with the manufacturing company. And probably most important, particularly in California, which is so highly regulated, it's very onerous to do business in California. But the city has already taken the initiative. It took us 9 years to do it, which is indicative right there. But we have already put all the, you know, we have the environmental clearance in place, the environmental impact report is complete. And for all intents and purposes, for most manufacturing firms, it's just as easy as pulling a building permit. And so that will be very attractive to businesses looking at California because we are so highly regulated. That's highly unusual.
Wow. You got a lot out there in 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Hey, we're going to let's go, Jim. Jim, we've got like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to say on the city manager's salaries, if they would turn back 50%, 40%, and 30% of the three top dollars, they could keep two more police officers on duty. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Yeah, I mentioned already that most of our, in fact, all of our management team have made concessions and have done what they can to be of help. I'll just speak to my situation personally. I've personally taken over an 18% pay cut to help, and because of the recession, I think it's important as a city manager and as a chief executive officer to show leadership. So I personally have taken an 18% pay cut during this recession.
Okay. Hey, Kurt Armin, thank you so much for coming to the show today. And
you've
for this
done
hour.
Radio before.
Yeah, you've done this before. You've got a lot of answers. Hey, join us out at the Veterans Home
groundbreaking
ceremony at 10:30. This is Carlin DeBott. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
And thank you all for your birthday wishes. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.